You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, June 17th, 2019 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. A wild ride it is, to be sure. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all Road Warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be, and as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. So, you know, I mentioned last week, we'll sort of get going forward. I think, well, last week was a busy week for me, and I mentioned kind of what happened over the last month or so, and I won't rehash that, but Wednesday last week, that was the 12th, Wednesday the 12th, Thursday the 13th were the first live broadcasts that we've done, Road Warrior Radio broadcasts, since May 17th, Friday, because of the news of my father's diagnosis with stage 4 cancer and then his untimely passing. We got the news, and a week and a day later, he was in hospice. 13 days later, he was gone, so... you know, people who don't know about this experience and mean well, obviously say, well, thank goodness he didn't suffer for very long. And, you know, we'll probably get into this more. I touched on this a little bit last week, particularly the subject of the Flexner Report, Abraham Flexner, and how at the 100-year mark, even NPR, you know, everybody was talking about how things changed. And this bigness is conflated as and with credibility. And that is not necessarily, I think personally that's misguided in many cases. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't give it any credence. You know, there's a lot of research. There are a lot of good, well-intended people. And I mentioned last week, I know one man in particular who made some significant contributions to society. But I think, you know, those are, if you understand who was behind the forces that were behind the, you know, not just Abraham Flexner and, his report, but the push and the momentum of the time, then you understand that those truly benevolent contributions, I would say, are more the exception than the rule, unfortunately. And that's a point that could be argued probably till the cows come home. But I would say, generally speaking, you know, when you have eugenicists and technocrats, which are essentially the same thing at a certain level, pushing to create these systems, then really, you know, they're interested in benefiting themselves, certainly. But everyone else is a research subject or a test subject or a guinea pig or something along those lines at a minimum. And I've talked about how veterans come back, you know, and who taught these folks that are creating these roadside bombs, these IEDs, improvised explosive devices, who taught them how to make these things? Because it's not just common knowledge. Where did they learn that skill? And so, in truth, I mean, if we really have the courage to trace the roots of that discussion as we have on this broadcast, you know, you go back most notably to Operation Cyclone and the CIA's creation of the Afghan Mujahideen, which became Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, et cetera, et cetera. You understand it's basically the same forces training both sides, as has been the case for a long time. So those poor, unfortunate souls who come back injured with, you know, limbs missing and things that go to Walter Reed Hospital are essentially that. They're test subjects, test patients, guinea pigs, and so forth. And, you know, so is everyone else for that matter. Everyone suffers a form of PTSD, and in the hands of someone like Dr. Martin Seligman, we need to figure out how we can turn the negative into a positive and turn learned helplessness into learned hopefulness and some kind of nonsense like that. Anyway. So the experience that I had, particularly with hospice, was, you know, for folks who don't know, obviously people mean well and they say, you know, well, at least he didn't suffer very long. And I suppose there's a merit to that. But as we discussed last week a little bit, and as I've heard from other folks, it's for someone who's really paying attention, I think it's horrifying to watch people play God and euthanize another person. So I think I'll conclude that discussion in today's broadcast. It's supposed to be Friday. Friday turned out to be busy. Last week I was, so the 3 weeks prior to last week, obviously consumed with my father's situation until his, what I would call, untimely passing. I mean, he was 67 years old, but still, a month before, he was hanging out with a friend in Arizona, high school friend. Before, a month before that, he was clearing brush, and I mean a lot of brush, with his brother. And no one would have guessed, as I've told folks, and I think I mentioned it last week, this was a guy who just last fall went for an 1,800-mile bike ride, motorcycle ride, in a weekend. And for the rest of us, you know, for the rest of us mere mortals, most people would want to nap for a week after an 1,800-mile motorcycle ride. Really, over any length of time. You could take a week, 2 weeks, but over a weekend, definitely. Most of us would, you know, anyone half his age would have wanted to take a nap. Who could ride 1,800 miles in a weekend? And he and the friend he rode with didn't take a nap when they got back. They just looked for the next thing to do. Most people would call an 1,800-mile motorcycle ride over a weekend a bucket list item. They just called it a bike ride. And, you know, so not a man of weak constitution, for sure. And so nobody would have guessed what would have unfolded. And it happened so fast. It's mind-blowing. So anyway, I think I'll get into especially the hospice side of things today. And, you know, one story in particular that I read. And, you know, as I said last week, this emphasis on quality of life, to me, sounds oxymoronic when you consider the fact that people in that situation are invariably drugged to the point of stupefaction and barely conscious, if conscious. That doesn't sound like quality of life to me. And when the issue of pain arises, my question is, as was the case with my dad, you know, if there's pain that's concentrated in his lower back, for example, which there was, then two questions, actually. First, why are you giving him drugs, which side effects may include the very thing you're trying to, symptom you're trying to treat, or the, you know, causing pain in the very place that you're trying to treat pain symptoms. So when you're giving him drugs that may cause back pain, for example, side effects may include back pain. That doesn't make any sense. But also, why can't they administer a local, particularly if someone, you know, like in this case, as I mentioned, you know, he wanted to go to his cabin. Now he's too weak to travel. He's in too much pain. Well, then give him a local. Give him an epidural and let him travel. And then you hear pushback on that. But when you get there, you hear, oh, whatever you want, whatever you need, anything you need. Except that, apparently. Except the things that you know, that don't fall in line with the hammer. Because that's what they have. They have a hammer. And so if it's a nail, great. We can hit it with the hammer. If it's not a nail, well, we don't have a tool for that. Sorry. So I'll conclude this. It's supposed to be Friday. We'll open the phones. Have some thoughts on the hospice thing. We'll move on after today. We'll probably come back to this because, again, it falls into the whole death cult discussion. And America is predominated by this death cult ideology. I had an occasion to visit or revisit mentally, I guess, the Jaffe memo issue yesterday, and there's a website. I haven't even looked at how long it's been up, but the curator of, there's a website, jaffememo.com, JAFFEMEMO.com, for those interested. Dr. Anthony Horvath of Anthotos Christian Ministries is the curator of the site, apparently. And you know, you look at these kinds of milestones of history, and how can we see these things that have happened, looking at the Reese Committee's research, for example, but the Jaffe memo, you look at this, and how can we argue that these things have happened by accident when it seems that we have precisely the assault on the social constraints, as it was put in the Jaffe memo, today, point for point? Restructuring of the family, postpone or avoid marriage. That's been a headline for the last 12 months or so. Big headline. That's what this the young millennial generation, not getting married. Alter image of ideal family size. You know, there was, and that certainly happened in America. Was that story, I forget what starlet told the story of her 10-year-old son wanting to sit down and have a serious conversation about coming out, about being straight. Weird. Why are 10-year-olds having these conversations, for starters? Where are they getting this information? And the mother who told the story, you know, said, oh, I was, you know, I would love you. Wait a minute. Is there not something wrong with 10-year-olds having this conversation or having this information in their field of view and consciousness? I think it's horrifying, quite frankly. Compulsory education of children, obviously that's been accomplished. That's a parallel. What I just said, encourage increased homosexuality. We've certainly seen that, speaking of the aforementioned. Educate for family limitation. We've seen that. I mean, you see that everywhere in the sitcoms and everything these days. Fertility control agents and water supply. Seen lots of stories about that over the years. Encourage women to work. Seeing that, and you know, the misnomer that has become. And what's fun about working in America these days? Anyway, stick around. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Welcome back. So it's a busy time. I realize that, so I appreciate you indulging me just one more day, and then we'll move on. I mean, summer is here in a few days. It starts on Friday, right? I believe first day of summer is Friday, June 21st. And of course, you know, not to get weird, not to speculate, not to give bad guys a reason or opportunity or excuse, but the summer solstice is this week, the 20th to the 22nd, I believe. And, you know, strange coincidences just happen to happen around those times of the year for whatever reason. And people that would want to challenge or disbelieve that probably need only go to Delucious Trust, and I wouldn't recommend it, but, you know, find something like Alice, the book that was credited to Alice Bailey as a channeled work or a received work, The Externalization of the Hierarchy. It wasn't the only one that was considered a received work. And read about what I would call old school bad guys, what they have written, and the spiritual or religious devotion they give to these weird esoteric concepts, like a rent or a tearing in the space-time continuum to allow the ascended masters that Marvel and DC have been talking about for decades to, you know, join us once again. Give us lots of great ideas. Same characters that H.P. Lovecraft wrote about, that Jordy Rose reminded us of a couple of summers ago. Anyway, so it's a busy time. You know, there's the Gulf of Oman stuff. And, you know, speaking of that, we get word from the State Department of one thing, and I can't help but, you know, whenever I see Mike Pompeo's lips move now, I think of these words. Go ahead, please.
It reminds you of the glory of the American experiment. And so when you deal with these countries, you have to just recognize they're not all the same. Some of these difficult, nasty places want to partner with the United States and just haven't gotten to the right place yet, just haven't been able to move their own institutions. And some of them may only be trying half as much as they ought to be trying, but they're trying to move in the right direction. That presents a very different way of thinking about how the United States ought to address them. In those cases, we ought to assist them. We should never shy away from calling them out. We have to be consistent. The State Department puts out every year a human rights report. It's just a compendium of bad acts around the world during the last 12 months. It's way too long a book. But you should look at it.
Okay.
We call out friends.
We'll,
we call out...
We'll try that again real quick. You know the timestamp I'm talking about, though. So there is, gosh, what's his name? Is it Ben Allen? Civil engineering student who asked the question, what about controversial nations, basically? Controversial governments like Saudi Arabia, which... I think it's a fantastic question. You know, his question, you know, how do you balance condemnations with concessions and diplomacy? And I don't think you do. You go back to George Washington's farewell address. How do you balance condemnations with concessions and diplomacy with a controversial government such as Saudi Arabia? And Mike Pompeo's response was telling. We'll get back to that. So when you think of Mike Pompeo's State Department, and really all of these former CIA directors and, you know, analysts, etc., floating around, you have to think of his infamous remarks at Texas A&M. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps, ready to race to you. These days are ours. These days are ours. These days are ours.
Welcome back. So, you know, we've talked about things like color revolution. We'll have to come back to that at some point. But, you know, again, I mean, really anything that comes out of the U.S. State Department is suspect. As far as I'm concerned, what do we have most recently? Yeah, you know, there are, I mean, I think this is interesting. So doing a DuckDuckGo search for Mike Pompeo. Very interesting. So just to search for Mike Pompeo gives me a result, commondreams.org news. This story, deja vu of Iraq war lies as Mike Pompeo blames Iran for tanker attack without single shred of evidence. And there is, you know, all kinds of, I mean, that's an interesting story. I don't want to get off on that right now. Maybe we'll come back to this. But it, you know, to me, there is the kind of I forget what it's called. I think there's a syndrome, but you know, the last one to know or the last one to want to believe something because of Stockholm syndrome and other psychological forces, the American public is the last to want to believe that the United States State Department really is a terrorist front group. And that's kind of what it is. You know, speaking of color revolution, you know, Gene Sharp, USAID, Albert Einstein Institute, and of course the CIA, you know, gets, I think, well-intended folks like, what's his name? Who was the guy that I mentioned just testified before Congress? You know, these people need our help. Yeah, that's what the CIA always does. And you will, by the way, you'll get suborned and burned in the process. You should just know that's how this works. Rinse and repeat. You know, once you figure it out, if you figure it out, because everyone's compartmentalized, then you get burned in the process because they like doing that too. It's fun. Mike Pompeo laughs about lying because it's fun. The hubris, you know, dishonorable. A guy who has dishonored his nation, who has besmirched West Point. You know, that's a giant black eye for West Point. But, you know, things continue on. So the American public, obviously, who wants to believe the reality of how things really work? I mean, he told folks, and everyone, a bunch of people in the audience laughed. He told folks a couple of months ago, almost 2 months ago, exactly, at his that Q&A discussion at Texas A&M. So how can anyone believe anything that comes out of Mike Pompeo's State Department or anything that comes out of his mouth? An organization reflects its leadership, and that's a discussion for a later time. But for now, as I was saying in the last segment, whenever I think of Mike Pompeo now, anything that he says when his lips are moving, this is what I think of. Go ahead, please.
Of challenges. It reminds me, you would know this, this is a bit of an aside, but in terms of how you think about problem sets, when I was a cadet, what's the cadet motto at West Point? You will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. I was the CIA director. We lied, we cheated, we stole. It was like, we had entire training courses. It reminds you of the...
So I think what's particularly disturbing about those remarks, and again, this pertains directly to the subject matter of, you know, this tanker attack, Gulf of Oman discussion. What's particularly disturbing is those remarks were in response, again, to the question, how do you balance condemnations with concessions in diplomacy with a controversial government? Most people would think of Iran because they've been conditioned to think that way. But if those same people had an opportunity, maybe just for a couple of hours, to do a little bit of research, particularly over the course of the 20th century, and to see what has happened through primarily British intrigue and, you know, proxies over the course of the last 100 years, say, I think people would have a markedly different view. If they could really stand apart from that and view it objectively and say, okay, let's compare what has happened to these people juxtapose that with which side of that happening America has been on, wittingly or unwittingly, still, I believe that with that sort of proper, at least even just a cursory understanding, you come away with an entirely different view, and you, anyone that really sees that for what it is, I think, says that these people have a tremendous sense of patience for the injustices that have been done to them over the last several decades, last few generations in particular. You know, then you get a different view. Sure, maybe religious war. Sure, maybe thousands of it. Sure, certain people don't. But you know what? This is recent history in that context even. So anyway, I digress. I think that but it's interesting, you know, you see articles like this. I mean, this comes out quickly, you know, Common Dreams, Deja Vu of Iraq War, Lies as Mike Pompeo Blames Iran for Tanker Attack Without Single Shred of Evidence. Well, actually, the so-called evidence is it's sort of farcical. It smacks of the same kind of lies that he laughed about at his Texas A&M Q&A back in April of this year. Anyway, we'll come back to that at some point, but I want to get back on the other discussion, wrap that up, and move on. But first, to the phones. Jim in New York, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. How are you? You were talking about the leadership of Pompeo. It's not only the leadership and the organization, but I think the entrenched organization affects the leadership also in a very, maybe more so. And mm-hmm. I was thinking about something. I'm into local history here in Brooklyn, New York. And during the War of 1812, the British never got to New York City, but we did have very strong fortifications. We had five forts on New York Harbor, which still exist. But the point I'm getting at is we had a local man here whose name was Jeremiah Johnson. He was appointed, commissioned as a brigadier general. He owned a farm on the land adjacent to the land that I live on right now, because I did a lot of research on censuses and European farm. And anyhow, to make a long story short, I went to the National Archives in D.C., and because my parents used to live in Silver Spring, and I looked up General Jeremiah Johnson, and he was commissioned as a brigadier general in preparation for the War of 1812. And all they did was they gave him a commission, and they said, now you go in your area here, and you just round up people and conscript them, people you know, your neighbors and friends, and you will have your brigade. And now we have something that's almost similar. We have the state militias and the National Guard. The problem is that our National Guard is being subsumed and cannibalized into the army on overseas warfare. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have to have some kind of a law that state militias and National Guard should remain in place and should be comprised of people who know each other and deal with local problems. There's too much appropriation and conflation and cannibalization of our forces for these dubious efforts.
I completely agree, first of all. And the state militias, I mean, obviously with that kind of, segregation, for lack of a better word, and decentralization of power versus the continuity of government we've seen shaping up, particularly since the 70s or so. I mean, really since the passage of the National Security Act in 1947 and before, they used to be called the regulars. And now there's really no distinction, I think. National Guard troops being brought in for a flood or a whatever is sort of thought to be commonplace, which it shouldn't be, I think. Posse Comitatus is one of the acts that was passed that was supposed to be a law, I think, to prevent that. It's my understanding that Posse Comitatus in particular was to prevent that. kind of like the Glass-Steagall Act separated banking and investments. Posse Comitatus was supposed to separate that military, you know, the regulars basically from the militia, but...
Well, that's what I'm getting at. There should be some kind of a legislation to reverse all of that. That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking. I remember I first heard the term Posse Comitatus up there in Idaho with this guy. Do you remember Butler about 30 years ago?
Who?
A guy named Butler. He had this called, I think, Christian Identity. He had a compound up there in Coeur d'Alene, I think.
Oh, yeah, there. Richard Butler. Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't understand what you said.
Yeah.
The Butler compound.
He was condemned for being anti-Semitic, I remember, but whatever happened with him?
He passed away. It was basically the way I would describe the Butler compound in simple terms up in Hayden, Idaho, was that it was basically a COINTELPRO front. Just ask Randy Weaver. He'll tell you. It was COINTELPRO front and served as a kind of a listening post and also an agitprop front. You know, they used to do the parades in downtown Coeur d'Alene and stuff. And
I remember I first heard the term Posse Comitatus. He used that term quite frequently. I remember that. But of course he hijacked it because we don't mean necessarily everything that he meant when he said those things.
Right.
Anyhow, so just an idea. I don't know if somebody could do that because it's really getting you know, carried far afield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, speaking of COINTELPRO and all of that kind of stuff and creating these groups, I mean, the FBI, you know, COINTELPRO and COINTELPRO too, but, you know, conscripting terms, co-opting and conscripting terms, again, that's kind of a play out of Frank Kitson's book, Speaking of British Intrigue, Low Intensity Operations, and the counter gang. You know, you want to vilify these guys. Anybody who uses the term Posse Comitatus, you want to vilify them. So you create this group that obviously is, you know, unredeemable, so to speak, which the Butler compound and folks were. And then you associate those two. The one that you create, you associate with the one you want to vilify. And it's just kind of amazing how, you know, you, for example, we look at the censorship on YouTube. Certain things, certain content is allowed to persist, but other things that people want to see and hear based on the views and the outrage when channels are censored or taken down, you know, it's pretty obvious, I think, especially in
internet. I'll tell you one thing, Chris. Since I've been out of my parents' house for like 50 years, I have owned a TV for a total of maybe 6 months. Period. I do not own the television. I have not been to a movie in about 6 or 7 years. I have a flip phone. I have no internet access. I listen to RBN only on the telephone listen line. I'm not going to call it a Luddite, but, you know, as far as these things go, I approach. No email, no tweeting, no... I closed down my Twitter account, and I am literate. I composed my own websites. I knew HTML. I did all kinds of scrolling text and everything. But I am totally out of that shit.
And yeah. Somehow you managed to live. How do you live, Jim?
That's it.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Anyhow, that's my part for today. Have a good day.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it, as always. Much appreciated. See, it's possible to survive without social media. What a concept. And even email and even a so-called smartphone. Again, you know, whenever I think of smartphone, I think of how Jaron Lanier, I mean, smartphone is a term of art, kind of like assault weapon. You know, there's nothing smart about a phone. There's a rifle does not assault people. But it's possible to survive without all of these modern gadgets. Unbelievable. We don't need them. And I think we should just go back. And if you have a TV, maybe watch get the Grit Channel. Watch some of that, or maybe the MeTV stuff. Go back a ways. Maybe watch the, if it's still on, the new Yankee Workshop, and marvel at how things are assembled without fasteners. It's incredible how they put that stuff together. And, you know, the new Yankee Workshop is emulating techniques that were used before power. How did these guys mill all of these things without electricity? Incredible stuff. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, June 17th, 2019. I'll get back to this in a minute. I had a playlist on Iran, and it's funny how things, you know, speaking of the censorship of social media, the playlist, 46 videos at last count. Well, I guess only about a handful of videos marked private or deleted. But, you know, there's some interesting stuff in there. And speaking of, I mentioned the article, Deja Vu of Iraq War Lies, as Mike Pompeo blames Iran for tanker attack without single shred of evidence. You know, I mean, I've mentioned Joe Wilson and his trip to find some yellow cake. That was what he was supposed to do, even though he didn't, because he couldn't. And basically, Donnie Rumsfeld was saying, Rummy was saying, hey, you know, I mean, we planted it there. You can't find it? Come on. And so then that's when the infamous, the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence remark was made by Rummy. but I always think of the remarks by retired Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner. Back in 2006, the CNN transcript is still, that's one of the videos, that was September 18. Things, funny things always seem to happen. They have a way of happening around September 11, don't they? You know, the IISS meets every year around September 11, and Henry Kissinger is a keynote speaker often. You know, all of these warmongering, saber-rattling groups, propaganda fronts, and so forth. We have to, you know, the way that George Carlin put it crassly, you know, bombing brown people. America's really good at it as a proxy and doesn't like when people crowd in on the action. Other countries. Anyway, we'll come back to that. I'll probably play that clip of Sam Gardner when he was on CNN's Situation Room, did a report for the Century Foundation, and he talked about a thing he called below the CNN line. What? Could it be possible? No. Not possible. Below the CNN line, things actually happen. And I, usually when I talk about that, I mention the story when I was at a what I would call a rhino breakfast one Friday morning in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, listening to Rocky Watson speak. I heard a young man, a pilot, talk about flying sorties inside Iran around the same time in question. So, you know, who do you believe? The State Department or, you know, guys who fly sorties? Who knows? Second hour coming up. We'll go back to the phones when we come back. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.